South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise, death is overcome.
And good morning. We want to welcome you to Wednesday Live, and keep your dial set right here, 89.9 in Palm City, Florida, coming to you. And we do have Jonathan Kahn that's going to be with us today. Jonathan, we welcome you.
Great to be back, Jonathan.
Well, I don't know how you make it all over the world, but I know that that God has put you at a strategic season in this global history, prophetic history, and we're so thankful that you are able to take a little time with us. Just as a bit of introduction to those of you who may not be familiar with Rabbi Kahn, I think most of you are, but he has been named along with Billy Graham as one of the top spiritual leaders of the last 40 years to have radically impacted our world, and I'm glad that impact is still going on, Rabbi. You've also spoken at the United Nations. I'm going to have to try to find that. I can't imagine how powerful that was, but you've been on Capitol Hill, and of course, you have a voice by the Spirit of God to speak to many people in many nations. Well, really, from the Harbinger to Josiah's Manifesto, which I believe we're going to be getting into this morning. You are a New York Times bestseller, and thanks be to God, the message is getting out. God's given you tremendous favor. You've been recognized by American presidential candidates and have been called a prophetic voice of this generation, and God has raised you up in that kind of a way. And so we want to just thank you for joining us today. You do lead a congregation, and that's in Wayne, New Jersey, is that right?
Yeah, it's northern New Jersey, about 20 minutes outside of New York City, Beth Israel.
Okay, and Hope of the World Ministry, a world outreach. And incidentally, I'm finding a lot of your messages on YouTube these days.
Yes.
And we thank God for it all. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. Great to be back with you, and it was great to be with you, and you know, the station and all the good people down at the Treasure Coast. It was a great time, the last National Day of Prayer.
Well, there's a hunger that God is putting into the hearts of His people, and I believe you know, God is equipping us to be able to do more than just have knowledge about the conditions, but also to be able to be a part of the team that are able to represent God. And in this book we're going to be looking at this morning really has an action plan in it, and I love it. When I got to the manifesto part toward the end of the book, I just came alive. The fire of God really hit me, and I recognize this is like the application in a message, and this book really addresses so many things from a prophetic perspective, but also it brings it right down to the where the rubber meets the road and gives the individual believer an opportunity to understand how to make a difference. So I'm excited to get into that. But what about Israel? What's going on? Do you have anything to share with us in regards to that?
Well, the thing is, the Josiah Manifesto just came out, you know, in September. And it was about 30 days later that everything began in Israel. Now, I was at the congregation I lead, Beth Israel, it's Friday night, and I'm sharing, and I don't always do this, but I was led to share that night from the book, from the Josiah Manifesto, one of the mysteries in it. And before that night was over in America, everything began in Israel. It was the night before everything would happen. And it was what I was sharing, the mystery from the book, ordained what was going to happen. What I mean is this. It's not like in the book I'm speaking about Hamas and all that. There's a mystery in the book that concerns the Jubilee. And the thing is, by going along with this, I had brought this mystery up to the year 2023 in the book, and that night on Friday night. But there was another event to come true. It's a 50-year mystery, a 50-year pattern, the Jubilee. And that ordained that there would be an attack on Israel. It would be a ground invasion, massive, and what was going to happen was the first one in 50 years. And it would take Israel by surprise. They'd be caught off guard. It would take place on the Sabbath. It would happen on a Hebrew holiday or holy day of Israel when the people were, celebrating it. It would lead to war. It would take place specifically on the first Saturday of October of 2023. That is all there in this mystery. And the mystery is, as I said, the 50-year mystery is that these things are happening continuously. I mean, you've seen it, Jonathan. You read the book. These things happen, even down to the exact days, where they parallel what happened 50 years ago and with exact fulfillment. And the next event on that prophetic calendar that Design Manifesto leaves off with 2023 in January of this mystery, but the next calamitous event happened in Israel, and it was called the Yom Kippur War. And that was the war that was a ground invasion, massive, took Israel off guard. And so it ordains the same thing happens 50 years later. It happened on a Sabbath, so this one is going to happen on a Sabbath. It happened on a holiday or holy day, Yom Kippur. This one happened on the holiday called Simchat Torah. It happened on the Yom Kippur War happened on the first Saturday or Sabbath of October of 1973. Well, that leads to the first Saturday or Sabbath of October 2023, and the same event replay. A parallel event replay. So that's how exact it is. I don't know how many other mysteries there from the book are going to come true, and I can't say I know all these things, but I know what I was put in the book. And the thing is that the night that I'm sharing, which was Friday night, and it was October 6th, I'm sharing on this 50-year mystery and how things come in the 50th year. That very night was the 50th year anniversary of the Yom Kippur War.
Wow. I know I read the book and the dates, the times, the repetition. It's only God. It's only God. There is no other explanation for the precision of these events prophetically as they're taking place. And I just feel like a kid on the edge of his seat getting ready to experience the greatest day in his life. I just believe to live in this day. It's so exciting. Rabbi, I want to just mention before we go further, so we have people listening. They're going to want to know about the book, about your organization. And so how would people make contact, be able to follow up with that?
Yeah, thank you. The Josiah Manifesto, and the subtitle is The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End Times, is literally, you can see it, you can find that literally everywhere, wherever there are books, Amazon right now online, you can get it, any place online. Also, Walmart and Barnes & Nobles have had it and all that, so it's literally everywhere, and I pray that people get it, not just for themselves, but for people in their lives who need to know, whether they're unsaved or saved, but need to be ready for what's coming. And so that's everywhere. The ministry I lead is Hope for the World. It's so, and people can get free updates, prophetic updates, and free gifts and CDs that we send out. So it's Hope for the World. Just remember, hopeoftheworld.org. You can get all that stuff free. and you can be in touch and get the prophetic updates. Of course, I'm on YouTube and all that, and you know, wherever you see Jonathan Kahn, if it says that, you know, it's I'm all over there.
I just had a lady call this past week, and she said that she receives your daily, that's probably an email or something that comes out, and she also had received, I don't know, maybe something in the mail. She has a granddaughter that is literally just going through the fire, and she's looking for answers. So she said, I was just moved to send that whole package to my granddaughter, and she's thrilled that you're going to be coming back to the Treasure Coast. Well, let's jump right into this book, because my family, Cuba's involved in this story a little bit. We're going to look at that, but my father was going to be a missionary to Cuba, and that's why we live in Florida. He moved to this coast specifically so we would be able to go back and forth to Cuba, and he went down, he toured, and then everything happened, and so Dad always prayed for Cuba. That was a part of our family. So your story in this book about the miraculous intervention of God and display of God's power, listen, if you're just tuning in, you don't want to change the dial, because this is one of the most remarkable testimonies of the power of God to speak through his word today that I've encountered. All right, so what is Josiah Manifesto? What is this book? What is this mystery going to reveal? What is here?
Yeah, well, so what if the Lord was giving us a prophetic revelation of where we are and now, prophetically, and where we're going, what's coming? And not just that, but as you alluded to, you know, how to be ready, you know, what do we do, you know, to know, what do we need to know to stand, to prevail, to overcome in the days ahead, and I would say in the end times. You know, that is what the Josiah Manifesto is going to be, is opening up, and it's, you know, everything from, you know, it's kind of like you're taking on a prophetic mystery, a journey of mysteries, and they all come together to then open up the answer, you know, open up this key to this last mystery, which is the answer, and the guide and the manifesto. You know, what if there was an ancient blueprint, an ancient calendar of God that ordained what was going to happen now? Things happening down to the, I mean, not just the days, but in some cases the very minute of according to God's plan, you know. And what if we're reliving it? I mean, we're replaying it. The last few years we've been going through all these shakings, and what if there was something behind it? There's actually a reason to it. And what we need, you know, how can we actually overcome in the days ahead? And that's why the first part of the book are the opening up of the mysteries and how they all come together. And the last part, as you said, it's the manifesto. It's the guide for the end times. And that's like 100 pages of what actually do we need to know for the days ahead, what's coming. So I believe it's, you know, it's one of the most important things I could have written. And actually, Jonathan, it was on what day that I finished the last book that you and I talked about, the last book that came out, which is The Return of the Gods. The very day I finished that book is when the Lord said, okay, this is the next book. You have to give my people an answer. You know, wow. You're going to give an answer in this book, you know, about what to do. And something actually happened. I won't say it yet, but something happened on the very day that I finished The Return of the Gods that then said that, okay, here the next book is this.
That's tremendous. Stephen Strang, when I was talking with him, interviewing him a few months ago, he mentioned he believes this is the most significant book that you've written. Listen, if you're just tuning in, we do have Rabbi Jonathan Kahn that is with us today, and we're going to be jumping right into the Josiah Manifesto, and we've just started, so it's a good time to join us. And so keep your dial set right here on 89.9, and remember that the Josiah Manifesto is available at bookstores everywhere. All right, the mystery begins on the island of Cuba.
Yes.
A couple individuals show up at your church. I mean, it's amazing. It's a God story. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I was asked, a man came to meet me from Cuba, and he said, we're asking you to come to the island. And he said Fidel Castro was opening up the island for 1 month for religious freedom, and Christians were going to be able to openly you know, speak and have gatherings and have, you know, of the faith, the gospel. And they asked me, the believers asked me to come and open it up with the sounding of the shofar. And as I was heading down there, it was really historic, first time, since the revolution. And I was led the whole, you know, it was for 1 month, so I open it up and with the sounding of the shofar, and I'm traveling across the island ministering, and I'm led to minister about the Jubilee and the Jubilee and the Jubilee, and you know, the restoration, the year of Jubilee. And the thing is, you know, one thing, you know, that happened in the midst of it, I'll just give it, is that my translator, who's a guy from Beth Israel, from my congregation, I just asked him because he's at the Spanish ministry. I had no idea. He's leading and ends up, he stays with me. He's able to stay for 3 months. I'm sorry, 3 weeks. You know, he couldn't get to the end. The last events in Havana, in Revolution Square, and Castro shows up there. And the thing is that, but the week before is his last day, and it turns out we're in a place called Camaway. And it ends up, they take us to this farm to preach on this farm. They bring in the people. And I see my translator, he's kind of wandering around with the people of the farm, and he looks real dazed. I said, "What's wrong?" He says, "You'll never believe it." I said, "What?" He said, this is my land." It turns out he was from Cuba. He was born in Cuba. The revolution came. They fled the land. They lost everything. They lost their... And the place where we were was his grandfather's farm, the farm where it was his inheritance. And so we were preaching the Jubilee, and everywhere we're going, we're saying the Jubilee says everyone shall return to their family land, to their ancestral possession. And so literally everything we were doing was taking one step to that. It was actually being fulfilled that day. You know, I mean, there's so much to that. But that was one side of the Jubilee. And the thing is, but there's another side to the Jubilee, and that had to do with Fidel Castro. Because we went to Havana, and then Castro showed up at the last event, and I get invited to go to the presidential palace of Fidel Castro. And before I left, a man had shown up at our congregation, and he was a Cuban pastor who had been in jail for his faith. And he gave me a prophetic word. He said, "You're going to enter the king's palace." So I was almost ready for this. And so I came there with three objects to give Fidel Castro. One was a Bible that had been banned in Cuba. Two was a shofar, the sign of the Jubilee, with a scripture engraved on it. And three was a prophetic word that I wrote on a sheet of paper having to do with the Jubilee. And the thing is, Jonathan, that there was what I gave him was prophetic, because it gave him the exact amount of time he would have left before his reign would come to an end, where he would have to step down from power. And the thing is, it ordained the year that his reign would end, and this is dating from the revolution, the month it would end, the week it would end, the day it would end, the hour it would end. I mean, death to the hour, and which was the 50, and all linked to the mystery of the Jubilee. It was in the 50th year, the 50th day, and to the very hour of when Batista, the dictator before him, fled, and he became the leader of Cuba. So this whole mystery, you know, America was trying to get him out of power for almost 50 years. But it was the Jubilee that got him out of power. You know? And the thing is that there's a whole mystery. I'm just giving a taste of this. But the thing is that this is opening up a door that has to do with every one of us, because this has affected America, affected our lives. And that is that the Jubilee is not just about, you know, restoration, getting back what you lost. It's also about if you took something that didn't belong to you, in the year of Jubilee, it's taken away from you. And that is what happened to Fidel Castro. He took what didn't belong to him. It was taken away from him. And so this mystery is going to affect America. I mean, we're going to, as we open this up, it's affected every one of our lives.
How does the plague come into this? How does the plague to America? How is it tied together? What's the link?
Yeah, well, it's this. You know, the Jubilee, what you took is taken from you in the year of Jubilee. America took something that didn't belong to it, and that is it began taking the lives of its children. And the lives of its children, it began doing that not in 1973, but in 1970. That is when abortion on demand began in America. And so if you take it, when is the Jubilee in year of that? Well, it's 2020. Anything happened in 2020? 2020, a a plague, a pandemic called COVID, comes to America. And in the year that we, when we took life, now in the year of Jubilee, life is taken from us. And it's so specific, so exact, because the thing is that the actual day that we turned to abortion was January 20th, 1970. That's the day when the bill that would legalize abortion on demand was presented before the New York legislature. And that was going to lead to Roe versus Wade. But that way, it was January 20th, 1970. Well, if you go forward 50 years, it takes you to January 20th, 2020. Anything happened? January 20th, 2020 is the exact day that this plague officially enters American soil. 50 years to the exact date that we turn to the killing of children, taking the lives of children, the plague that's going to take our lives comes to our soil.
Wow. Wow. So the plague came, and I think all of our listeners remember COVID, lockdowns that fell in the nation. Was that a part of the mystery as well, the lockdown and how that impacted our nation?
Yeah. This entered our shores at the end of January, but it fell on us about a month and a half later. And that's when it happened in the middle of March. Everybody remembers it because that's when our lives changed. That's when the lockdowns came. That's when everything came. And that there was one day that the media even calls it the day that changed everything. That was the day that everything happened. That's the day when Trump addressed the nation. That's the day that America was quarantined, placed under quarantine. The day really that the lockdowns began falling, everything began to shut down. The stock market crashed. Officially, that was the day of the beginning that it became a pandemic. It was March 11th, 2020, the day that changed everything. Well, go back 50 years, one jubilee. And it takes you to March 11th, 1970. Anything happened? March 11th, 1970 is the exact day that we began shedding the blood of our children. Mm. We initiated that death on that day. 50 years later, to the exact day, it all falls upon America.
Wow. I was looking at the numbers, you have in the book about how even the death numbers from the start of abortion and the startup of the plague are very close.
Oh, totally. And this has to do with, I call it in the book the Jeremiah question, and that is that, Jeremiah, when he's looking over the Valley of Hinnom, he says that basically what you did to the children is going to come back, it's going to match that. When Abraham Lincoln gave his second inaugural, he spoke of the Civil War as a judgment from God, and he says, if it has to go on until every drop of blood that was shed by the whip, by the lash, will be matched by the drop of blood shed by the sword, then so, let it be, the judgments of the Lord. And so the question is, could, therefore, if all these things are together, then what about the numbers of children killed, and could there be a correlation? Well, in that critical three-year period from the entrance of abortion until Roe v. Wade, 1970 to 73, the numbers of Americans, the number of American children that were killed is 1.3 million, and that's the CDC statistics. Now, you go forward 50 years, you have another three-year period.
Yes.
It's a Jubilean match. Every year is at least one of those years. It's 2020 to 2023, and it's the years of the plague. 3 years to match the other years. Well, how many Americans were killed? Well, the plague struck down 1.3 million Americans to match the 1.3 million children that we killed.
Now, the gates. You talk about east and west. What is the mystery of the gates? That ties in with this.
Yeah.
Mystery as well.
The Bible says judgment begins at the gate. And what does America have a gate? Well, yeah. It's New York. It's New York City. That has always been the gate of America. And there are second gates, but that's the main, the first one. And so the first thing you see is that abortion came first to New York, but it didn't just come to New York. It came through New York, because in those first 3 years, the majority of abortions in America, the majority, were all performed in the little sliver of land of New York, particularly New York City. And then it spread to denomination. So it came through New York. That was a gate. 50 years later, we have the plague. Now we have COVID. And the thing is, the amazing thing that scientists discovered when they looked at the DNA of the virus, they found out that the majority of cases, if you had COVID, the majority of cases came through the gate of New York, the same gate where we killed our children. The majority. And I mean, just like the majority of abortion came, so the majority of this other death. And the other thing is that when you at the same year, 1970, when you look at that year, it wasn't only, there was one other gate to the continent, and that was on the west. It was a western gate, and that was Washington State. That was the other state that legalized abortion on the continent. That was the western gate. 50 years later, the plague of COVID enters America through two gates, and one is the eastern gate, New York, and the other is Washington State. Actually, patient zero came through the gate of Washington State and came through. It was identified on the day that that abortion was embraced on the East Coast, to the day 50 years later. So if you had COVID, the virus actually bore the markers pointing to the very gates where we had killed our children 50 years before.
Okay, now, I know if you're just tuning in today to WCNO, this is Wednesday Live, and we have Rabbi Jonathan Kahn with us today, and we're so glad you're listening. Keep your dial set right here. We will be replaying this interview a little later as well. Rabbi, now we come to January the 6th. Things happen on Capitol Hill. We have the mystery of Donald Trump. What is all that about?
Yeah, well, one of the mysteries opened up was in a book called The Paradigm, which is that the leaders of our time, the politics, the events of all these things that are leading the nation, all are following this prototype, a template that you can flip the Bible when Israel is falling away from God. And each leader, I mean, the amazing thing is each leader follows the prototype of an ancient leader, and not that they know what they're doing. It's not happening consciously, but it's happening. With Donald Trump, the prototype for America is that he's following, without knowing it, is Jehu. Jehu was a man who God raised up when the nation was falling away from God, and Jehu was unlikely. We don't even know that he knew God. We don't know. But he was used of God. That's what we know. And the thing is that you know, despite himself, you know, Jehu was wild. He was unpredictable. You never knew what he was going to say next. Well, so it is with Donald Trump. Jehu, as he's racing to the throne of Israel, he makes an alliance with the religious conservatives of the land. So Donald Trump, as he's racing to the White House, makes an alliance with the religious conservatives of America. Jehu invites one of those religious conservatives into his chariot to become his partner in the race. Donald Trump invites one of them, named Mike Pence, and to become his running mate to enter the Capitol. When Jehu is heading to the Capitol city, his agenda is for all intents and purposes is to drain the swamp. And then before Jehu can come to power, he comes to a showdown with the nation's former first lady. Well, Donald Trump, before he can come to power, comes to the showdown. The nation's former first lady is Hillary Clinton. Everybody said Hillary Clinton was going to win, but the template in the Bible, if going by the Jehu template, is that no, Jehu was going to win, and the former first lady was going to have a downfall. Well, that's what happened. And the thing is that you know, just a note, you know, and how really amazingly eerie or stunning this is. Hillary Clinton was on the national stage for 22 years with her husband, really, from the time of his election governor to the end of his presidency. Then she was on public office for 12 years and ran for president for two more years. So altogether, on the public stage, it was 22 years with her husband, 14 years on her own. The former first lady or queen that she follows without knowing it, whose name is Jezebel, was on the national stage for 22 years with her husband Ahab, and on her own for 2 years until her showdown with Jehu. So, I mean, this is how specific this is. Now, the thing is, Jonathan. As with, I've seen with many of my books, and I'm not claiming to know anything or anything, but after they came out, the majority of them that I know of, I mean, I think almost everyone has continued to come true. And so with the paradigm. In fact, so many things have happened that it's not in the paradigm, it's foreshadowed in the paradigm, but it came true. It's in the Josiah Manifesto. And one of them is what happened on January 6th. You know, that's been, you know, there's such controversy and all that.
Sure.
Well, this is, I'm going to say something to the listeners, you know, that they're not going to see on the news. They're not going to see it on, you know, the investigative committee could not uncover it. And that's the mystery. In the template of Jehu, at one point, Jehu, he calls for people to come to the capital city for an event, for a gathering. And they do. So Trump calls for people to come and gather to the capital city, Washington. And so it happens on January 6th. The people of Jehu, in that template, they end up going to a great capital building of the nation. And the people of Trump go to the Capitol building of America. There are proceedings going on in the Capitol building, in the template of Jehu, and so in Washington D.C. proceedings are going on. Now, at one point in the ancient template, the people of Jehu storm the Capitol building, this great Capitol temple building. On January 6th, they storm or enter into the Capitol building while proceedings are going on. Now, there's so much to this that we can't go into, but I'll just to say this. At the end of that week, the Capitol Police announced that they had the number of people they had arrested on site, you know, as part of this whole thing that happened. And it was headlines. And they gave the number as 80 people. 80 people
right.
arrested.
Right.
In the Book of Kings, there's a Hebrew expression. It's shnoni. It goes like the word is shmonim ish, and that is to describe the people of Jehu who went into the Capitol building. It translates to 80 people, exact same number. And there's so much to this, and I'll just give a little note of what this all means. When you put it all together, it means there was a big change, not just politically, but really spiritually, that happened on that day. And it means that right now, the leading of, you know, our political realm and our cultural realm is under the dominion of the spirit of Baal and the agenda of Baal. And we can't go into much more of it, but it's so significant. But the amazing thing is, like, all these things that happen, and the mysteries are actually there in the Bible.
This is tremendous, tremendous. And there was an object that showed up in New York that confirmed that, right? Mysterious object?
Yeah.
I'm just
kind of bringing together the Josiah Manifesto and the Return of the Gods, because in the midst of the showdown between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and if you remember, like, the last part just before the election, the debate centered on abortion. Hillary Clinton is totally pro-abortion. You know, she's called the abortion champion of the 20th century, and Donald Trump was totally against it, and when he ran for president. And so, you know, and interesting, because the former first lady queen, you know, in the biblical template, Jezebel, was totally for the killing of children, because that was part of Baal worship. And Jehu was against Baal worship. So, I mean, it's amazing even in that. But as this is coming to a head with that election, you know, and both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were centered in New York, a mysterious object appears in New York. And the object that appears in New York is linked to an ancient god. And it's the Arch of Baal. And it appears on City Hall. And they literally have a ceremony. The leaders of New York literally have a ceremony around the Arch of Baal. And they with music of Baal. I was there. I went there to witness it. We filmed it. I mean, it was stunning. And they're pronouncing. There's a sign that says Temple of Baal. I mean, and this is a spiritual thing, because the what was it? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear.
No, I didn't say anything, Jonathan. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say something? Okay.
No.
Something came in. Okay. So the thing is that it's saying that there's a spiritual war. you know, that is going on, and with it, it's over the lives of our children, just like it was with Israel. Baal, you know, they offered up their children to Baal. Now, the thing is, that Donald Trump, as Jehu, now here's another thing that came true after the paradigm, and that is that, you know, that Jehu is the one who pulls down, destroys the temple of Baal, and it says he drove out Baal worship, you know, Baal from Israel. Well, Baal is linked to wild sacrifice. And so just by that, it's saying that Trump, if he's walking in the footsteps of Jehu, at the temple of Jehu, he's going to be used to come against the killing of children. And, you know, the temple of Baal was the framework on which they killed their children, the platform. Well, America has its own temple of Baal, and that was Roe versus Wade. That allowed us to kill over 60 million children. So what the template was saying, and this is foreshadowed, you know, when I wrote, but 3 years before when I wrote it, when I wrote the Paradigm, is that Trump, as a Jehu, is going to be used to pull down America's temple of Baal, which is Roe versus Wade, and he would be. Whatever one thinks of Donald Trump, he was used to do this. And the thing is that you know, he did it by appointing three Supreme Court justices, and particularly the last one, because Roe versus Wade would be overturned by one single vote. It was that last court justice. But when he appointed one, if you remember, when he appointed Kavanaugh, he nominated him, and he was, all hell broke loose on Capitol Hill because of the issue of abortion. They were fighting over this. A strange object appears in Washington, D.C., and it appears on the National Mall. It appears in front of the Capitol building in which they're having the fury, the warfare, and it's, what is it? It's the Arch of Baal. It reappears now in that moment, you know, in the place, the time and place when America is fighting over the lives of its children. So we are in a spiritual war. It's a real thing. I mean, when I speak about the principalities and the gods, it's a real thing, and we're in the midst of it.
So what is the mystery of Adar 13 and Sivan 23?
Yes, this is, you know, the Jubilee is not only, you know, it's not just, you know, a thing of, you know, as we saw, there was a judgment and restitution. It's also restoration. There was something good happening in all these, throughout these last three, the years of COVID and this whole thing, there was something, and that is because the Jubilee also reverses. And so what we are going to see is that while this is all happening, it's also going to be reversing abortion or Roe versus Wade. It's 50 years later, and Roe versus Wade is going to be reversed. And the amazing thing is, you know, Roe versus Wade actually began in 1970, and then it handed down in 73. But so when you look at the 3 years, it's 1970 to 1973. 50 years later, the Jubilee is 2020 to 2023. This three-year period of COVID and this plague, but it's also a three-year period of another case that comes up and is sent to the Supreme Court. Exactly 50 years after Roe versus Wade was. It's received by the court 50 years after Roe versus Wade was received. It's heard by the court 50 years after Roe versus, you know, every single thing parallels Roe versus Wade. Now, in the book of Esther, there's a date called Adar 13. And Adar 13 is linked to, if you remember, when Haman came up with a plot to decree to kill, destroy the Jewish people. It was linked to Adar 13. Now, Adar 13 is the 13th day of the 12th month of the biblical year. 13th day of the 12th month, day of evil decree of death and destruction. Well, Roe versus Wade was heard before the Supreme Court. Its hearing took place on December 13th, the 13th day of the 12th month, the day of an evil decree that is to bring death and destruction. That is the day of Roe versus Wade. Now, in the book of Esther, another decree is issued, a second one, by Mordecai and Esther, to undo the first decree, to nullify the decree of death and destruction.
Right.
Well, that went forth on the Hebrew day called Sivan 23. And in fact, that day on the Hebrew calendar became a day when the Jewish people pray for God to undo, to reverse, to nullify, to overturn evil decrees.
Mm.
Now, here's the thing. The case that would overturn Roe versus Wade, the evil decree, the first, that case is called Dobbs versus Jackson. went forth to the Supreme Court on June 15th, 2020. But on the calendar of the Bible, it went forth on Sivan 23, the day of the decree that will overturn the evil decree of death and destruction.
Wow. That's powerful. That's powerful. So the connection of Roe versus Wade and the book of Leviticus, what is that connection?
Yeah, you wouldn't think that's connected, but it is. You know, when you look at the parameters of the Jubilee, and that is in Leviticus 25, and it says that you'll count 7 times 7 years, and then in the 50th year, the Jubilee, the overturning, or the, you know, the reversal and all that. Well, the thing is that when we think of this, Jonathan, you know, we tend to think, okay, 50 year, you know, I'm 50 years old, and so, you know, this is my year of, well, Jubilee. Well, actually, when you turn 50, that is the completion of your 50th year. You know, I mean, we kind of know this, but we don't think of it that way. You know, the 50th year begins when the 49th year is complete. So the year of Jubilee, so that sets the parameters of Roe versus Wade, of the Jubilee. Roe versus Wade, the parameters of the Jubilee and year of Roe versus Wade is January 22nd, 2022 to January 22nd, 2023. And so those are the parameters. If something's going to happen, could it happen in that time? Well, Roe versus Wade was overturned on June 24th, 2022, right in the middle of the parameters of its Jubilee. It was overturned, so Roe versus Wade was overturned in the year of Jubilee of Roe versus Wade. Just like everything else, we're seeing everything else line up and all this by the Jubilee, so too, and that was the hand of God. You know, the power of the Jubilee is about freedom, restoration, reversing, undoing, nullifying, overturning, and so it all was done by the hand of God in the year of Jubilee.
Right, we have about 18 minutes left, Rabbi, and if you're just tuning in, this is WCNO in Palm City, Florida, and we are interviewing Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, and we're looking at the book Josiah Manifesto, and this book is available anywhere you may shop for books, online, and of course in all the various places, Walmart and such forth. You can find it almost everywhere, and so you're going to want to get a copy of this book for sure. All right, we are looking at moving on into how America was shaken, and apparently an ancient calendar had something to do with that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is a calendar of God, and this also, by the way, is Leviticus, but it's not the Jubilee. It's the sacred calendar of God. And the thing is that, you know, in this, you know, there it gives the appointed days of God called the Moedim. These are the holy days of God. And the thing is that, the amazing thing is that every appointed day actually ordained the pattern of the shaking of America, when everything was shaken that year, not only what the shaking would be, but the very day or the time it would happen. The first appointed day in the calendar is Passover. Now, the interesting thing about Passover, when you think about it, is Passover is the only holy day of God that has to do with a plague. You know, actually the very name, Passover. It's a plague will pass over. Well, So here it's about a plague, and think about it, you know, that's the day that God told the people of Israel, go into your houses, you know, stay in your houses because the plague is passing through the land. So that is not only the festival of a plague, having to do with plague, but also it's the first national lockdown in recorded history.
For sure.
And it's a lockdown linked to a plague. When has that ever happened before? You know, when has it ever happened since? Only now. And so the thing is, Passover comes in the springtime. And so when Passover came on America and the world, it came at the exact time that America, all America, has just been locked down. And, you know, locked down, and everybody's staying in their houses because a plague is passing through the land. Jewish people are celebrating Passover in talking about what happened in Egypt when they were locked in their houses and because a plague was passing through the land. When they are locked in their houses and a plague is passing through the land.
Literally.
Back in Israel, the government told, on that day, they declared a curfew because of the plague, and it was Passover, So everybody had to stay in their houses until morning. First time in 3,000 years. It'd be amazing. And the thing is that, and taking it to a kind of more kind of cosmic level, and that is that, you know, America and the West has been, you know, turning away from Passover, meaning the Passover lamb is Jesus. He's the Passover lamb. The Bible says it. Our faith is a Passover faith, you know, and he's the Passover lamb. But it's like God brought America and the entire world back into Passover. We were the most we have ever done in our lives or ever will do, we were reliving a real Passover, you know, except we needed the lamb. You know, we're in desperate need for the lamb. That's just the first appointed day and the first shaking.
What about the Summer of Rage? Did all of that tie in?
Yeah, the next appointed celebration or feast of God is called Shavuot, or in Greek it's called Pentecost. And Pentecost is actually Jewish. And the thing is that what's Pentecost? Well, we only the day of the Spirit, of the baptism of the fire of the Spirit, the tongues of fire, the fire of the Spirit, the day of God's holy fire. Well, as that day approaches, a fire comes on America, but it's not a holy fire. It's a fire that comes over our cities. It shakes us to the core. And the thing is, the day that Shavuot began, or that night, the Jewish people are lighting candles and to initiate Shavuot, and on that very night, that's the very night that this fire broke out across America. It's the night that the police station went up in fire. Remember, it was a time when it spread beyond one place and it went to, the fires started going in all the cities. So literally, on the day of fire, the fire goes and went onto the nation. And Shavuot, or Pentecost, is the summer harvest. It ushers in the summer harvest. So this one ushered in the summer of fires and rage.
So then what is the day of the Most High Court?
The next holy day after the summer is the Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets is called Yom HaDin in the Hebrew world, and that means the Day of Judgment. It's like a shadow of the Day of Judgment. And the thing is that they believe, Jewish people see it as, and it is linked to judgment, it is linked to getting ready, and the thing is that they see it as, you know, it's the day that God is the judge, and he's the judge of his court. It's a court that's above the whole court of on earth, and he passes judgment, and so they believe he passes judgment on that day, and so, or begins the judgment, and so it's a time to repent of evil, get right with God. So it's all, but it's, the imagery is that of a courtroom. Well, as the Feast of Trumpets approaches and comes, all America turns to its high court on the day, actually the actual day of the high court of God. And that is because something, on that day of the high court, something happens to the high court of America. The Jewish people believe God ordains who will pass from the earth on that day. A Supreme Court justice passes from the earth on that day of the Feast of Trumpets. And it's Judge Ginsburg. And the thing is, you know, it is the Supreme Court that legalized Roe versus Wade. It was the sin of the Supreme Court. And so here now, it's like God saying, listen, you know, there's a higher court, there's a higher judge, and I can overturn your verdict. And that very event, because of the passing of the justice, who was very pro-abortion, if she had not passed on that day, if she had not done that, then there would, Roe versus Wade would never have been overturned. It only happened, you know, the Feast of Trumpets ushers in repentance, turning from your sin. And so that very day actually ushered in the repentance of the Supreme Court and America by what happened on the day that begins repentance.
That's powerful.
Wow.
Now, what is the Phineas factor? Let's move on, because I want to get to the manifesto before we're out of time here today.
Yeah, sure. Sure, yeah, there's so much. Obviously, we can just touch on it. The Phineas factor, there's actually a time in the Bible when there's a plague on Israel because they sinned, and one man's action actually turns away the plague. That's what the Bible says, and his name was Phineas. And the thing is, it turns out so with America. You know, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, you know, it's handed down in June, you know, but it was actually voted on, and the decision was sealed in June. January into early February of 2022 is when Judge Alito penned that famous decision, which sealed it. That was it. And the thing is that, so it was done, you know, on that day, I mean, in that time. Now this plague of COVID, you know, people don't realize this, it was actually at its peak. It was three times bigger than any other peak in the entire 3 years of COVID. It was three times higher. So it was going to go on for years. But in January, it's at a peak. But that's when Judge Alito does that. The decision is sealed. And all of a sudden, it collapses right at that time. It collapses, and within a few weeks, it is down to 1/8 of what it was. I mean, not 1/2, not 1/3, 1/8 from its peak to almost nothing, and that stayed on. It never came back, and it all happened then. And in fact, when you look at the death rate when it collapsed, the CDC gives basically the date. It says the week ending, it reached its peak and then turned, and then it collapsed. The week ending January 22nd. Well, the day the CDC gives, January 22nd, that's the day that began the jubilee of Roe versus Wade.
So what about the broken altar? And
if you look at the book, the cover of the Desai Manifesto, and that's how you can find it, it has the sign of the broken altar. And the thing is that people don't realize is that the what happened with Roe versus Wade, this was actually a biblical sign, because a gigantic one, because the Roe versus Wade was the altar on which we killed 60 million children. It was an altar is where you sacrifice, you shed blood. And so when that altar was broken by the hand of God, when Roe versus Wade was broken, and we know that's not the end of the fight, it's the beginning, but what happened was gigantic. It was the breaking of the altar, and that is the sign in the Bible, the sign of the broken altar. It appears throughout. You see, when there was when we think of revival, we think of maybe a church meeting, a gospel crusade, but that's all great. But the biblical sign of revival was the sign of the broken altar. When they would turn back to God, they would break down the altars of the gods. And there's no one more. There's so much to this. This is a revelation of where we are prophetically. There's no one in the Bible who is more linked to the sign of the broken altar than the man known as Josiah. Josiah, literally, his birth was prophesied over a broken altar. And when he rose to power, he's the one who broke down the altars of the gods. He broke down the altars of where they were killing their children. And so it's a sign of Josiah. Now, here's the thing. Josiah, it's saying we are now, here's a prophetic revelation, we are now standing at the Josiah moment. And the Josiah moment is this, is that we are either, here's the thing, on one hand, when Josiah rose up, Israel was on the verge of judgment, destruction. I mean, it had turned away from God. On one hand, it was on the eve of judgment. On the other hand, it was given a last chance for revival. We are now standing between those two things, America. Judgment, on one hand, or a last chance for revival on the other. Which will it be? That depends, I says, if my people. And the thing is, that's where the Josiah Manifesto comes in. The last 100 pages are what do we do? And how do we do it? And how do we overcome? Josiah, it's not all pointing to Josiah. Josiah holds the secret or the key of how did he overcome? How did he not get swept away? How did he, he was born in an age where they were killing children, so they were promoting sexual immorality, gender confusion, an anti-God spirit in the culture. Well, we're there now. How did he stand on such a culture and then not get defiled, not get drawn in, not get corrupted, not get depressed, not get discouraged? How did he stand and not just stand, but actually overcome it, actually change the course of his nation? What was the Josiah strategy? What was the Josiah secret or the powers that he had? The ways. What did he do? Well, that is what. That's why it's called the Josiah. I've never written a book called Manifesto. The Josiah Manifesto is that the last 100 pages are how to do it, how to overcome. Not only only now, but in the end times, because that's what we're dealing with. How to protect your family from this? What do you do when the government tells you you have to go against God? What do you do when it may become illegal to stand for God? How do you, and how do you just, not just that, but how do you thrive? Well, that is what the Josiah Manifesto was all about.
Well, Rabbi Kahn, we have been so blessed to have you with us today, and we still have a few minutes. We have about 5 minutes left of this program, and there is so much in the manifesto. You're listening today. You're just tuning in. We've had Rabbi Jonathan Kahn with us today talking about the Josiah Manifesto. This book is available anywhere books are sold. And, of course, you can do that online or in many stores as well. And also, Rabbi, could you just give us the web address again, too? Some people are going to want to connect and maybe follow up with you and your ministry.
Yeah, sure. The ministry I lead, lead the congregation, Beth Israel, if you're ever up here, in New York or New Jersey. But the ministry that's the outreach that basically gets the gospel out to all around the world, and also has all my teachings, and if you want to get prophetic updates and also free CDs, the mysteries we send out free, just remember the name, it's Hope of the World, and if you go online, it's hopeoftheworld.org, and you'll get all those things as well. And there is, Charisma put out, Steve Strang, they put out a site called booksbyjonathankahn.com, and I think there are specials that they do there and all that, but you can get the gift anywhere, but booksbyjonathankahn.com, you can see, you'll see some of the books as well.
In a couple minutes, are you going to, you have us on the edge of our chair here. What about, what happened in Cuba? What was the conclusion of that? How did the mystery tie in?
I don't know if we have time for that, but I will tell you, in the book it's called The Last Mystery, and it's amazing because it kind of goes full circle because we began in Cuba.
Yes.
And in Cuba, on that very first day that began the Jubilee of Cuba, and the freedom, that 1 month of freedom, when I sounded the shofar that day at the first gathering, that night there was another gathering and that I was asked to address, and I was led to share the book of Joel, share from Joel, which talks about gathering together and the repenting and praying for,
sure,
there's a curse on the land and the whole thing. And the thing is, and it ends with God saying, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, which is talking about the end times. I mean, I will pour out my spirit. And so the thing is that I will say this, it was amazing. It was God manifested a vision of the end times, and I'm not talking mystically, I'm not talking, I'm talking what we all saw with our eyes, heard with our ears. He manifested a vision of the end times, of what it is, and a great encouragement for the end times, in time and space, on heaven and earth, the book of Joel, literally, and more, on heaven and earth, and it just blew me in. And the ultimate, and there's so much there, it's in the book, we won't have time to go into it, but the takeaway, one of the takeaways is that God is never finished, and don't despair when things look, God is never finished, and there's always a way to glorify Him. It doesn't matter if you're living in the book of Acts or you're living at the end times, there's a way to glorify God and overcome and have victory in your life. And you were, just like Josiah, one of the things in Josiah, he was literally appointed for the age and hour when he was born, and the age was born for him. You are also appointed for this age that you're born. So don't curse the darkness. Be the light you're supposed to be. You were born for this darkness to light up the world.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And Rabbi, I have to say the last 100 pages brings us to a point of action and brings us to a point of increased faith. I believe faith is really stirred by this book, and also just hope. Hope is shared. This would be an awesome gift to anyone, to an unbeliever, to a believer, because it answers a lot of questions. I would like for you to just pray over our state. We're believing, God, that our state, our region, and our nation have a revival, and
absolutely,
one thing that you say is that revival is imperative if America is to be saved, and revival can only come if there's repentance. So please pray with us.
Yes. Lord, we just come together right now. We ask your blessing in your hand, and we pray for the state of Florida, Lord. So much happening there, Lord. We ask for grace. great and mighty revival, Lord. And we ask for the future of America, Lord. And we ask, Father, Lord, use Florida powerfully, Lord, in the days ahead, even to have your way with